Man, that worship was powerful. The worship was powerful, man. You know, when you get in the presence like that, when you get in God's presence that way, the perspective of heaven invades your heart. And you know, when you see with the perspective of heaven, it makes the things on earth seem really small. Have you ever gotten in an airplane before, and maybe you live in a city like ours and you see the skyscrapers, but what happens as you go up in that plane? Everything starts to shrink, right? Skyscrapers start to look like Legos and little cars turn to little ants and everything just starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what the perspective of heaven does. That's what the perspective of heaven does. It takes your situation that looks insurmountable. It takes your situation that looks like a mountain or a skyscraper that's standing in front of you. And as you gain the perspective of heaven while you're in his presence, as you gain the perspective of heaven as you read your word, the things of this earth start to get smaller and smaller and smaller to the point where you're not worried anymore. You're not worried anymore. That's why when I said, God, break that spirit off right now in Jesus' name. In worship, because when we're in his presence and we gain that perspective, we don't have to worry about a diagnosis. We don't have to worry about a broken relationship. We don't have to worry about a family member that's fallen astray. We don't have to worry about those things because we walk in the promises and the peace of knowing that he has them covered. And when we get in his presence, when we hear his words, when we begin to sing out from our hearts the way we did, you get that perspective of heaven. Today, as we get ready to receive our morning's tithe and offerings, we have a mountain in front of us, a $50,000 mountain. Woo! I know for me, that seems like a pretty large mountain. But guess what? With the perspective of heaven, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. We have a mountain in front of us. A broken ventilation system here at the church, improvements that need to be made, benevolence requests that are stacked up to the ceiling. They look really high. That mountain looks pretty tall. But when we gain that perspective of heaven, the Lord says, that's nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing. I've placed people in this room that can take care of that today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Wouldn't that be crazy if I got to walk in on Tuesday and say, you know what? Cleveland tore the mountain down. Cleveland blew up the mountain. Wouldn't that be amazing? I know in God all things are possible. Do you believe in that? Do you believe in his word are true? Okay, so we understand that through him all things are possible. And through his strength we can do all things. And so today as we get ready to receive our tithe and offerings, I just want us to understand that when we give, we're not seeing through the lens of our own eyes. We're seeing through the lens of heaven. We're seeing through the lens of heaven. And you might have noticed some of these pictures up here on the altar. These are our Joshua Kids. Joshua Kids has been going on for 30, 31 years now. It's our inner city kids program in Lorain. We do school supplies, coats, Christmas presents, birthday gifts, all these amazing things. But more importantly than all of that combined, we give them Jesus every single month. And in the summer, we go to kids camp. Yeah, amen?
Amen.
So in the summer, we go to kids camp and we're able to send 100 kids or more for free. Kids that wouldn't be able to go otherwise, they are able to go to a week-long overnight camp where they receive two services a day, where they're receiving Jesus, where they're getting poured into by the leaders of this house, telling them what their purpose is in this world, bringing out those things that are hidden inside of them from life and saying, you are the chosen one. You are chosen. God has chosen you. God has called you. God has empowered you. And we tell them their true identity and they leave fired up, filled with the Holy Spirit. In church today, these names and these faces that are presented here before you are our Joshua Kids. And so before you leave today, please not during the message, but before you leave today, please come up and consider sponsoring one of our Joshua Kids. I know Desiree already sponsored four, so you already outdid most of the people in this room because you're just the greatest. So thank you for that. Amen. Yeah, she already sponsored 4 kids, so thank you. And they're going to be blessed by that. I'm so grateful for you. But yeah, as we give our tithe and offering, just understand that we see with the perspective of heaven that $50,000 mountain can get blown up today, that this is not the peak of Church on the North Coast, Cleveland, that we are at the bottom right now, and we have so much further to go because this region is going to be an oasis filled with the Holy Spirit. When people point to Cleveland on the map, I want them to say, that's where Church on the North Coast is. That's where those crazy radical followers of Jesus are. That's where those people are. That's where I know I can go and receive a touch from heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's pray as we give. Jesus, I just thank you for this opportunity to step into alignment with you. I pray today that the perspective of heaven will invade every heart and every mind in this room, God. And that mountain that seems so tall, as we get your perspective and replace it from our own, God, that it will just begin to shrink in front of us and grow strangely small to the point where we don't have a care in the world about it, God. All we want to care about is you. All we want to care about is focusing on your face, Jesus. So I just ask that you would take this gift, Lord. Take these seeds that are sown and allow them to bring forth fruit. Fruit that will send ripples through generations that they may know you, Lord. I ask that you bless each and every giver in this house and just continue to invade with the perspective of heaven today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome to Church on the North Coast. Can we give it up for our worship team real quick? This last month has been on fire for Jesus in this room. There's something happening here. There's something happening in this church. There's something happening in this campus that can only be described as supernatural. There's freedom being found. There's people that have walked in suicidal last week that I saw here today. Yeah. That means a lot. That means a lot. To see that person that was here today, that said last week they were thinking about killing themselves. I saw him this morning. It made me smile. I said, man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because he's so good. He's so good. You know, you have a tangible access to the Holy Spirit. You have access to him. When Jesus came down and died on this cross, he tore the veil. He sent the Holy Spirit as a gift to us to give us free access. In today's church, the title of my message is What Remains. Because after everything is gone, every single thing in your life that can be shaken and will be shaken, the one thing that will remain is your relationship with him. That's all you really got. That's all you have. So today we're going to dig into it and talk about it. But, you know, in the Old Testament, they had to do so much to have an encounter with God. They had to go through so much. Only one was allowed to go into the presence of God. Only one was allowed to experience him in the Ark of the Covenant. And they had to tie a rope around him just in case he did something wrong and died. So he had to get pulled out, right? We see in the Old Testament sacrifices having to be made. We see this veil between us and the Holy Spirit and the presence of God where they had to do so much and could only talk to him one time. We see Moses in Exodus looking up at Mount Sinai and saying, you better not go up there. When God descended upon the mountain, said that there was fire and lightning and thunder surrounding the mountain. And he told the Israelites, he said, hey, look, no matter what you do, do not go up there. He said, because you will surely die. He said, even if an animal touches that mountain, they have to be stoned because that is not allowed. Don't touch that mountain. God called me up there. Nobody else. If you go up there, you will die. We see such extreme scenarios that the people would have to go through just to hear one word from the Lord. We see Moses have to go up a mountain that is surrounded by fire and clouds and lightning and thunder, the consuming fire of God. I don't know about you, but if you were looking up at that mountain, how many in here would be excited to go run into a bunch of fire and darkness and I'm sure Moses wasn't super excited to see what was going to happen to his life in that moment, because he's looking at this scary mountain, the presence of God. He had to walk up there by himself to go talk to God. Whew. You ever been called to the principal's office before? You ever been called to the principal before, and you know that little stomach feeling that you get as you walk in? Maybe you were a bad kid in school. Maybe at home your parents called you to their room and you know you're about to get in trouble. Ooh, stomach starts to bubble a little bit. Imagine Moses walking up that mountain by himself to go talk to the creator of the universe. Whew, no pressure. But as he got up there and he talked to him, we see how extreme circumstances they had to go through just to speak to the Lord. And so today we're going to read from Hebrews 12:18, if you want to turn there or write it down. But it's going to show us a contrast of how God's access was in the Old Testament compared to how God's access is right now for you and I. And when we look at this, it's kind of convicting. Because when you think about all that they had to do just to hear one word from the Lord, and then you compare that to what we have to do to experience his presence, I'm a little nervous to go to heaven and talk to some of those people, some of those Old Testament people that lived during that time, and would say, man, you had access every single day. You could wake up in the morning and talk to the Lord face to face. You could wake up in the morning and you had a complete blueprint on how to live your life, how to speak to him, what his promises were. You had full access to him each and every day of your life. What did you do? It's very sobering to think about it. It's very sobering to think about the amount of access we have and the lack of things that are happening. The lack of faith that we carry, the lack of miracles that are breaking out. Why? Because we got to beg and pull teeth for people to come to church. I got to text people, how are you coming to church today? I'm so excited. Are you coming to church? Are you coming to church? Let's send out 6,000 text messages. Let's post 50 videos. Let's make sure we get passed out to these things and all of this stuff to get people to come. We have to bend over backwards. Let's make something entertaining. You know what? Let's give away a TV. We have to pull teeth to get people to just step into the presence of God. Where we look at these people in the Old Testament that had to do so much just to hear one word. And I think about it, and I think about what would happen if we see some of those people. We see Daniel. What would it look like if Daniel came in here for our worship service? What would it look like if Job came in here? Queen Esther. How would they worship? They got to feel the full tangible presence of the Lord and worship freely. Didn't have to do a sacrifice, didn't have to wear a ceremonial robe and eat this and do that. No, they could just come worship freely. Definitely wouldn't have to have an altar call. The second that guitar started playing, I can imagine them being right here, praising the Lord. And so when we read this, when we read Hebrews 12:18, we have to keep in mind the tangible access that we have to God. And I pray that this message will challenge you, will challenge you to do more, will challenge you to be better, to say, God, good morning, I'm here, talk to me right now. God, good morning, let me pick up your word before I do anything else. I have access to you. I've been given complete access to you, and so I'm going to take full advantage. I'm going to take full advantage of what you've given, because we are so blessed to live during this time. We are so blessed to have access to the Holy Spirit the way that we do. And so, church, I challenge you today to take full advantage of it. In Hebrews 12:18, it says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. That's what it looked like to access God during that time. That's what it looked like to access the Lord during that time. I'm trembling with fear. In church, I think we've lost a little bit too much fear of the Lord. I think we've lost just a little bit too much fear of the Lord. I'm so happy each and every one of you are here today. I'm so happy you're here today. But I want to challenge you to get some of that fear back. Get some of that fear of the Lord back into your spirit. It's funny, we talk about our campus and we say, you know, if you look at this room at 1205 compared to what it looks at 1235, there's a lot more seats available. I'll just say it that way. Church, I challenge you. Be in here for prayer before service. Be at the altar when the worship starts. Stay after and commune with one another. Talk to each other. Uplift each other. Pray for each other. Check in. Do life together. Gain that fear of the Lord back in your heart that says, God, you are worth every second of my life. You are worth every second of my life. Even on my day off, you are worth not hitting that snooze button 18 times. I'll just hit it 15 times and I'll get to church on time. Amen. We go on in Hebrews 12:22. This is where we are today. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Everybody say joyful assembly. To the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. Amen. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That is what you have come to. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, looking up at the face of their Savior, praising him, saying, holy, saying, you are worthy, saying, be exalted now in the heavens, God. Be exalted now, Jesus. That is where you have come to. It goes on to say, see to it, you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? If they watched Jesus walk on this earth and in their time, from their perspective, weren't able to see him and they still didn't escape, how much less will we, people who have 6,000 years of his word, people who have free access to his Holy Spirit, people of God who have this ability to walk in step with him each and every day, how much less of an excuse do you have? How much less of an excuse do you have? Because you have all the tools. Right? They say you can lead a horse to water, but what? Right? I gave you everything you need, Jesus says. He's given you everything you need. See to it that you don't refuse him. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. We see in Haggai, he talks about Jesus is coming. He prophesies that the Lord will come, that Jesus will walk, the word made flesh, and he will shake the earth and sky. And again in Hebrews 12, we see it say, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, church, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is created things. So that what cannot be shaken may remain. What cannot be shaken will remain. That's what will remain. Your relationship with your Father will remain. In church, we have to understand and do a better job of prioritizing that which will remain, because he's going to shake the earth. He's going to shake the heavens. And all of this man-made stuff is going to wash away. Maybe some of you have already experienced that a little bit in your life. But we believe this lie from the enemy that says that we are what we have. Good or bad, I have a lot of stuff, so I'm awesome. I don't have very much, so I'm prideful as well and thinking I'm not good enough. We are what we've accomplished. Wow, you have your PhD. God, that's so good. You play for that professional team. Man, that's awesome. You made a lot of mistakes in your life. You're not very good. We believe this lie that we are what we have done. And we have to do a better job, church. This one specifically touches my heart so closely because each and every Thursday I have the immense pleasure of working with our teens, but they run up to me and they show me their highlights that they had from their sports that week. Hey, look at me. I did this, I did that, I did this. I say, man, that's so cool, but I don't care. It's real. I'm happy and I'm so proud and that is so cool. And the kids know I love coming to their games. I love watching them. I love supporting them. But we have to do a better church as a culture to not make that more important than their walk with Jesus. Listen to me. Men specifically, because this is such a cop-out for guys. We keep it so surface level. That's the first thing you ask a young boy. Oh, how's your basketball going? How's your football going? How's this going? And it reinforces this lie that the only thing that brings them value is how good they perform on this field. Wow. And I'm telling you right now, we have to do a better job, church. I'm not saying sports are bad. I was an athlete. I love them. But what we cannot do is put something that can be shaken in front of that which cannot be. We cannot put that which can be shaken in front of that which cannot be. And so we have to do a better job. It's the same thing with girls, same things with ladies. Yeah. Highlighting how a girl looks. Yes, amen. It breaks my heart talking to some of these teens whose moms care more about how they look than how many verses that they know. The vanity, the glitz, the glam, the let me post this picture, let me make sure she's on all these cheer teams. Men and women of God, that which can be shaken cannot come before him. Because we're training these young men and women to put their faith into those things. We're training them to find their value, their integrity in the things that they have, the things that they've done, and what other people say about them. We're teaching them to find their value. They're putting their integrity in that. And I tell you today, church, this is for you too. Every single person in this room, your integrity, your value comes directly from heaven. It comes directly from heaven. It comes directly from the one that created you, the one that loves you, the one that rejoices over you, the one that has given you these promises, that tore the veil, that's given you free access to him. That is where your value lies. And so I am so proud of you that you've accomplished something, that you have that house, that you have that job, that people all say you're a great person. Those things are cool and a part of your identity, but that is not what makes you valuable. Yes. And I tell you, just like I tell those kids, those are cool highlights, but I don't care. Yes. How's your relationship with him? Yes. How much time do you spend talking to him? Do you walk in step with him? Are you able to call him into the room when somebody is hurting? Are you able to call him into the room when that kid walked in here suicidal last week? An elder, you were able to. That's what I care about. That's what you have to care about. That's where you have to find your value. Because when those things of this world get shaken away, when those things get shaken away, we see people all the time lose it. They lose it. They lose that house that they thought made them valuable. That accomplishment that made them so important, maybe they retire, maybe they lose that job. People's opinions start to matter. Everybody's talking bad about them, and we see people crumble. We see people's lives fall apart. We see people die because they're not rooted in him, because they don't find their value, their integrity isn't rooted in heaven. And church, I'm telling you today, Root yourself in that which cannot be shaken. Root yourself in that which cannot be shaken. This world is getting crazy. The devil's not playing with you. And if you do not have this foundation, if you don't have that relationship with him, if you're not able to sit at his feet and talk to him, your life's going to get shaken up and you won't have a very steady ground to stand on. The last piece before 13, Hebrews 12:28. This is the part where everybody in this room should rejoice. This is the good part. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I'm going to keep reading it until you feel it in your spirit. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. And that is our heart's cry today. We say, Lord, take away all this stuff. Get it out of my life. Get it out of my way. Lord, consuming fire, take every single part of me. What does fire do? It doesn't just burn a piece of a log. It burns it all. It cleanses it all. So we say, Lord, consuming fire, baptize us. Baptize us, Lord. Clear it out of the way. Get rid of the things that are not of you. Get rid of the things that I put before you. My job, my career, my relationships, the things that I bought, the money, the things, all of it. Just get it out of the way, God, please. Get it out of the way. Burn it. Because I want to run to the tangible mountain, surrounded by hosts of angels worshiping the Lord. We have received a kingdom that is, cannot be shaken. We have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, church. So when it's time to worship, you gotta worship with reverence. You gotta worship in awe. You gotta worship giving it all to him, saying, Lord, consuming fire, have everything. I don't care about what these people think of me. I know I can't sing, but I'm gonna sing my heart out for you. I know I look silly. I'm going to jump up and down over here because I am receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I see people get so excited at professional sports games. And it's like, man, you're willing to look silly for Myles Garrett, but you're not willing to look silly for Jesus. And I love Myles Garrett, but like, make it make sense. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And I just love the way that it's worded. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. With reverence and awe. I want to talk a little bit today as we get ready to take communion. I want to talk about the reverence and the awe of the sacraments. The reverence and the awe of communion. And I need to repent because I grew up in church, and me and Pastor Dion used to sneak in and eat a bunch of the little wafers and drink the juice sometimes. It's just stuff you do when you hang around the church a lot. Listen, you guys have really long prayer meetings, and we're kids, and we're hungry, and got to survive out here. Had to do what you had to do. You understand? Jesus, I'm sorry. But we've taken these holy sacraments, this sacred tradition, this sacred connection to God through communion, and we've made it trivial. We've made it just something that we do. We've made it, oh, this little cup of grape juice and this stale little wafer, like, I'm just going to do that and do my routine and keep it moving. We've marginalized it to be so small. that it doesn't matter. It's just like, oh, yeah, I'll do it if it just blesses me a little bit more. Yeah, I'll take a little, you know, if that helps me be a better Christian. But today, church, I want to restore the reverence of taking communion. I want to restore the reverence of taking communion as a church. Because as that verse said in Hebrews 12:18, we have to worship him with reverence and awe, as if we are receiving an unshakable kingdom as a gift, the greatest eternal gift that we could possibly get. And so when we talk about communion, and when we talk about what it means and how it's supposed to be taken, it's about our heart's posture. It's an understanding that God wishes to commune with you in this moment. In Acts, we see the early church, when they gathered, they didn't have fancy lights and screens. They didn't have all the glitz and glam in every single group and service. You guys can come put those down. That's fine. They didn't have all the stuff, right? They didn't have a women's, men's, kids, singles, young adult ministry. They had one church. They had one body. And when they came together, they took communion. They read the scripture and they worshiped the Lord. Then they communed with one another. They fellowshiped with one another. In church, what we have to get back to is resembling the early church. We've turned church culture into a movie theater. We've turned church culture into the Christian show that you just come in and watch, feel inspired for a second, and then leave without talking to anybody, without actually experiencing the Lord. And so we have to get back to how the early church was in Acts, and understanding that when we come together, we need to sing praises to the Lord. We need to read scripture. We need to take communion. We need to commune with one another. Those are the ingredients. That's what the Lord told us to do. And that's where his presence is. And so when we think about communion, when we think about the bread, when we think about the cup, we have to understand how important they really are. That word communion, and it can be translated in the Greek to koinonia. They also use that in the Bible. And koinonia literally translates to intimacy. It translates to intimacy and connection. And so when we look at the word koinonia, in the context of communion, the Lord wants to have an intimate connection with you. He wants to get personal with you. He wants to get in your face and talk to you. When you take that communion, it should be as powerful as when we sing a worship song, or as powerful when you hear the word of God. It is just right, it's right there. It's just as important. It's just as spirit-filled a thing to do as coming up and singing. Because he is in that. And we read it in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23, it says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" When we take that bread, when we take that cup, we honor the new covenant that he has formed with us. We honor the relationship that he has formed with us. We honor that mountain of joy that we can run to receive an eternal, unshakable kingdom. When we take communion, that is what we do. It goes on to say, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner," be careful, "whoever drinks this cup, eats the bread in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves." Whew. That's some very Old Testament stuff right there in the New Testament. That's some very Old Testament truth that the Lord is telling you. So when you take this cup, when you eat this bread, you better discern what we're doing. This is not tradition for fun. This is not to look good. This is not just to come get a quick little blessing that you can do and keep it moving. No, 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 no. When you take this cup, when you eat this bread, you are doing it in remembrance of him. You are doing it in acknowledgement of the new covenant that he paid for. And you are saying, Lord, this bread is your body that was broken for me. This blood, this cup is your blood that was spilled, that paid for all of it. When you do it, you better discern. It goes on to say, that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. We're not good judges of ourselves. Our heart is deceitful above all things. Only he can know it. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So we're not the good judge of our lives. He is the judge of our lives. And when we take communion with a discerning spirit, we say, Lord, be the judge. Be the judge. I lay down what I think I know. I lay down what my heart is telling me. I lay down how I feel. I lay everything down right now. And I say, be the judge of my heart. I take this cup and I take this bread and I do it in remembrance of you for the price that you paid. I do it in remembrance of you. I do it in gratitude to you for the eternal kingdom that cannot be shaken that you have promised me. Thank you, Jesus. So today, church, I want to invite everybody to stand. And what we're going to do is we're going to take communion, but after we take communion, we're going to do like it says in Hebrews 12, and we're going to worship with reverence and awe for a minute. We're just going to spend the time with the Lord. But maybe you're like me, and communion has just been a routine for you. Communion hasn't been a recognition of the holy sacrifice that was made. Maybe it's just been something you've done because of tradition. Maybe it's been something you've done that you just thought would help you out. But what I want us to do right now with every eyes closed, every eye in this room closed, if that has been you, and you say, Lord, I've never taken communion in a reverent way, I want to give you a minute just to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I repent right now. I repent for doing this out of routine. I repent for doing that out of tradition, God. I repent right now in Jesus' name for not taking advantage of an opportunity to have koinonia with you, to have personal intimacy with you, God. God, I repent right now for looking at this as anything less than a supernatural gift. I want everybody in the room right now to just begin to ask the Lord to give you discernment in your heart. Say, God, give me discernment in my heart. Put the weight of how much this really means on my heart right now. Not because of some words that were spoken. God, I want to know for myself how much this means. Put the weight on my heart right now, Jesus, for how much this really means. Give me the discernment of heaven right now to say this is not common, this is not tradition, this is not just routine, God. This is a sacred time for you and I to commune with one another. This is a sacred moment for me to switch my brain and step into alignment with the promises of you. God, give us discernment right now. Give us that discerning spirit. that wakes us up inside and reminds us of how holy this moment is. I want to invite everybody to come up to the front. Grab your cups, grab your bread, and you can come and grab, and you can stay up here as a family. We're going to worship afterwards, so just kind of move out of the way of the plates, but still stay up here. So everybody get up here, grab your communion elements. We're going to do this together as a family. We're going to come to the table of the Lord. We're going to come to his table right now and commune with him. Once you grab your elements, just kind of move to the middle, move to the sides a little bit, but I want you to stay up here. I want you to stay right where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the discernment that is in every single heart right now. That this communion experience will be new. This won't just be another Sunday where we do this. This won't just be another routine that we fulfill, God. That this right now will impact every person in this room as we get ready to take communion together. Holy Spirit, move right now. Move right now in this place. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. As we hold the bread in our hands right now, say, Lord, this is your body that was broken for us. We thank you. Speak to us, Lord. We are the body of Christ. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. As we take this communion with you, God, speak to us. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. As we have this moment of koinonia with you, God. As we have this intimate conversation with you, God. As we begin to talk to you in this moment, Lord. Just as your body was broken, God. Speak to us on what should break our hearts too. Put a burden on our hearts for the lost souls of this region. Put a burden on our hearts for those who have not found you, God. We break and partake the bread together. Just let him speak to you for a second. In our hands, say, Lord, this is your blood that was spilled for us. This is the blood that makes us whole. This is the blood that washes us clean. This is the blood that paid for our sins. Oh my God, thank you. Thank you for every drop that was spilled. Thank you for the power you gave so freely. Holy Spirit, cleanse us. Be the judge. We get off of the throne. Yes. Say, Lord, take your place. Yes. Discern us. Discern in us, God, what should not be there. Wash us new. Make us clean before you. We reverence you and we thank you. We can partake of the cup together. Now, just let him speak to you for a second. Jesus. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteousness made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things. So that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. With every hand lifted in this room right now, we say, God, you are a consuming fire. You are a consuming fire, Lord. We worship you with reverence. We worship you with awe right now in this moment. We say, consuming fire, baptize us. Baptize us, every part of us, God. We hold nothing back from you today. We hold nothing back from you today. Pioneer of the new covenant, we say we step into the truth that your blood purchased for us, that your body purchased for us, God. We step and we walk in alignment with you in reverence, in awe. In spirit and in truth, we give you all of the glory right now in Jesus' name. And we say, consuming fire, you burn right now. Burn through us. However we walked in here, God, change us right now. Change the way that we walk out. Change the way that we live tomorrow, God. Change our future, Lord. Discern in us what ought not to be there. Take away the things that are not eternal. Take away the things that can be shaken. Move them out of the way, God, so that all remains is you, so that the only thing that remains is our relationship with you, Father. Allow us to never walk into a room like this and treat it as common, God. Allow us to never take communion and treat it as routine, Lord. We reverence you, God. We reverence you, God. We step into sacred koinonia with you. Say, Lord, we want to know you personally. I want to know you in my heart. I want to know you personally, Jesus, every day. When I start to step out of line, I want to know your voice so clearly that you call me back, that you call me home. I don't second guess, I don't question. When you speak, I want to know it's you. I pray for discernment to fall upon this room, a spirit of discernment to fall upon this room from heaven that would allow them to understand when it's man talking and when it's God talking. That there will be a clear difference between the things of this world and the things of the eternal one. God, I pray for discernment to grow. I pray for spiritual maturity to grow in this room. Lord, a spiritual maturity that will root every single person's dignity in your kingdom of heaven, not in one thing that can be found on this earth. That the thing that makes them valuable is that they are chosen by you. That they have a relationship with you that cannot be shaken. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your eternal promise. We step into alignment with it and we say, Lord, consuming fire. Consuming fire. We worship you in awe. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Listen, I don't want to break this time of koinonia with Jesus. If you're in his presence right now, you stay right where you are. If you need to go, live right, love everybody, pray hard, but you take as much time as you need. Sit with the Lord, talk to him, let him talk to you. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.